Thank you, actors. Thank you, Mary, for the effective music. And now, I would like to invite children to go upstairs, and Lauren Martens, our children's leader, will lead children's worship. Let us pray. Eternal God, open our hearts and minds to hear what your Spirit is saying us today. Bless even our doubts and our wanderings. Teach us to love our deep questions as well as our answers. In Jesus' name, Amen. Today, we listen to one of the stories of King David through our excellent actors. As I usually ask our children after the storytelling, I would like to ask you some questions. I wonder, what part of this story you like the best? I wonder, what part was the most important? I wonder, what part was about you? Or what part you were in? This summer, the children's worship has been focused on the story of King David. The joy and challenge to lead children's worship is that children never answer to the wondering questions I asked as I expected. I had expected our children to like the story of David and Goliath the best, but one of our children said he liked the part where David ran away from King Saul the best. I had imagined our children to think that the friendship between David and Jonathan was most important. But they said, bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem was most important because that meant God was with David and the people of God. So I have no idea what the answers of our children are to the wondering questions for today's story. I think King David is the most beloved and well-articulated person in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. He's a shepherd, a good harp player, the singer of psalms, an excellent soldier and strategist, the anointed king, and the favored one of God. So he became the hope of Israel and the ancestor of Messiah, Jesus Christ. But the narrative of 1 and 2 Samuel never idealized David and his family. Generally, people like to hear scandals of royal family. Even so, today's story is terrible. What David had done is not just a single incident, but a series of wrong actions, having Bathsheba and making her pregnant, trying to cover it, and arranging the death of Uriah. Not only did he make mistakes, but he also completely misused his power. But the story doesn't end up with his horrible actions. Soon, Nathan came to David and he talked about the parable of a rich man and poor man. Here, Nathan is a great mentor and a wonderful educator for David, more than a prophet who speaks the words of God to the people. If Nathan pointed out what David had done directly and judged him immediately, David may have been so defensive that he denied his mistakes. But Nathan used the parable as Jesus did. According to the godly play storytelling, a way we tell stories to our children, parables are precious as gold. How precious are they? What do you think? Parables deepen thoughts and minds of the people and let people ponder on many different questions. Parables also open a space to let people freely play with their imagination. In this case, the parable of Nathan created a space for David to think and make his own decision freely. Listening to the parable, David got very angry and said, "As surely as the Lord lives, the one who did this is demonic. He must restore the lamb seven times over because he did this and because he had no compassion." So the parable evoked a sense of compassion to poor and powerless people in David. As soon as he sees this, Nathan pointed out, "You are that man." He did not miss the opportunity to make David repent. As a king of Israel, David could have stopped Nathan's storytelling and could have even killed him. But David deeply and genuinely repented what he had done. Not only did he recognize that he had done evil things, but he also admitted that he had sinned against God. In the Bible, the word of repentance means not only to regret one's wrongdoing, but also to return to God and to be transformed to the original nature created by God. So David sang in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." From them, David had to suffer from tragic events in his family. He could not escape from the consequences of his actions. However, he became a model of genuine repentance through this story. I think David became the hope of Israel because of this story, because of his genuine repentance. As human beings, sometimes we are blind to what we are doing and the impact of our actions. As a result, we make terrible mistakes. And worst of all, we do not know how to ask God for forgiveness and to mend our brokenness. But David's genuine repentance gives us hope that we can be changed. And we can be transformed anytime, no matter what we have done. And the story tells us that David needed Nathan to recover his relationship with God. And we also need Nathan in our lives to truly be God's beloved children. So I wish to ask each one of you, who is Nathan for you in your life? How did they guide you when you were off the track? Who did they encourage you to be honest about your mistakes and misunderstandings? How did they support you when you deeply regretted what you have done? And what made you trust them as your mentors? Our moderator, Gary Patterson, has raised some profound questions in a blog in the middle of the pilgrimage to the General Council 42 from August 8 to 15 at Corner Brook, Newfoundland. The first question is, what do we need to let go of? He wrote, "What's the purpose of your congregation? The vision? The why? Oh, your church is busy doing 101 things and all of them good and even important. But do you know what the essentials are? The priorities, the treasure in the earthen vessel. Sometimes we are not clear about what's essential until we are forced to let go of stuff the way we used to do it. Since I'm in the middle of moving, I really understand what he said. I need to give up so many stuff, but I need to set up my priority first. But anyway, set aside my moving issue. What are the essentials of our church? I believe that church is somehow a place to know God's unconditional love, to learn to trust in God, and to build trust within each other to be shaped as God's beloved family. We know that it takes time, energy, intention, patience, and most of all, much love to build, to trust with others. While the trust is easily lost by just one of our less thoughtful actions. We know that. We all are so busy that we cannot take enough time to nurture our friendship and to deepen our understanding with one another. We also know that we, as a church, are isolated and segregated from our immediate neighbors. And we are somehow suspicious about them. But because of that, I think it is essential to try to be a genuine member of God's family, where people can know and understand each other deeply and love and trust one another. When I came to Canada with my family 10 years ago, our two daughters were 7 and 9 years old and didn't speak English at all. We had no idea about what's going on and how things work in this country, in this society. Since we had no children in a Japanese congregation where I was appointed, I encouraged our children to participate in a Sunday school of Northwood United Church in Surrey, where the Japanese congregation met in the afternoon. I thought it's a good idea. They can understand English and they can learn the Canadian culture. But it's not easy. It was not easy. At the first vacation Bible study, our older daughter was so frustrated because she couldn't understand English that she treated her younger sister very, very badly. One of our teachers, who was almost their grandma's age, had watched them very carefully. And she tried to find their favorite activities to reduce their frustration and anxiety. Since then, she has been watching their growth. Occasionally gave them beautiful and faithful messages. And she became a godmother at their confirmation. In the process of confirmation, they had a personal mentor and could raise some deep questions about faith. So they got a new church family through the confirmation, even though they only had parents as immediate family members here in Canada. Their church family has been a witness of their growth in the past 10 years, and they are surrounded by their spiritual mothers and fathers, mentors and friends, brothers and sisters. That's the church, I believe. So I ask you again, who was Nathan for you in your church life? How can we open ourselves and trust in God and trust in our brothers and sisters in our faith community? May God, who sent Nathan to David, guide us truly, be the loving family of God. Amen.